Good morning, everyone. And I want to start off by congratulating all the graduates and to let you know how proud everyone is of you and how it does give honor to God to see our children make accomplishments in their lives. I mean, I think just as God is proud of us when we do well, as parents, we're just as proud of our children when they do well. So congratulations to all of you. And so I want to give a message today that I believe will help our graduates and anyone else who is breathing in the room. If you are a human being, this message is for you. And I wanted to start off by looking in Matthew chapter 6. The title of our message today is Seek First the Kingdom. And in Matthew 6, beginning in verse 25, Jesus says, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. And if that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." And the church said, so let's talk about putting this into practice. And I have three quick points I want to make. Do not worry. Remember your value. And seek first the kingdom. Let's talk about something that we rarely do. And that's not worrying. I know that you have advanced degrees in this. And you have accomplished it in your life. But I just want to remind you of what the Lord says here, in case there may be someone in the room who gets stressed out occasionally and is overwhelmed with anxiety. Jesus says, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life." Don't worry about your life. Don't worry about your food. Don't worry about your clothes. Don't worry about your clothes. And do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will do what, church? It will worry about itself. See, the word worry means to be torn in two. And that is exactly what anxiety does to us. It tears us apart. There are times when we need to be concerned. And I pray that we are concerned for one another. Paul said that he was concerned for all the churches. But there's a difference in concern and in worry. Worry is self-centered. Concern is other-centered. Worry is driven by fear. Concern is driven by love. Worry paralyzes us. Concern energizes us. Worry takes away your faith. Concern refines our faith. We are concerned about our graduates, and we're concerned about every disciple. But our challenge to you is to not worry, to seek first the kingdom, to set your eyes on Jesus, understanding that God is there to take care of us. Worry steals our joy. It even affects our health. It takes our eyes off God. It hurts our relationships. And it does not help us solve any problems. It often leads to bad decisions. We make poor decisions when we're concerned, when we're overwhelmed with worry. Remember Sarah being worried about having a son. And instead of waiting on God, she convinced her husband, let's have a son through my handservant, through my maiden. And how did that turn out? She ended up angry with Abraham for a decision that she made. She should not have worried, just trusted in God and he would have taken care of it. King Saul sat there worrying, when was Samuel going to come? And instead of just waiting and trusting in God, he took matters into his own hands and he ended up losing the kingdom. Oftentimes, because of worry, we step outside of God's will and we make poor decisions. When what Jesus is trying to tell us is God has us. He has us in the palm of his hands. And a lot of times, you know, he'll wait to the very last minute, the very last day, the very last hour. Then the money comes in for the rent. Then the job opens up for you. Then you find the solution for your health. Then he opens the door for your children to go to the school that they needed to go to. But when we take matters into our own hands and we become overwhelmed with worry, we make poor decisions and we turn away from God. Now, here's one of my favorite scriptures in all the Bible, Philippians 4. And in Philippians 4, you know, it starts off in verse 4. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. What a great promise. That if we just cast all our anxieties on him, he'll take care of us because he cares for us. And a lot of times we can't even fix the things that we're worried about. But God can and God will. He says, do not be anxious about anything. Sometimes we can't even sit still because we're overwhelmed with anxiety. When is it going to happen? Is it going to happen? How is it going to happen? And God is saying, will you just be still? I got you. I got it. If you'll just let me lead the way. The Bible says that we're not to worry about tomorrow. You're not going to whatever school or university that you'll be a part of tomorrow. So don't worry about it. Wait till you get there. You'll have plenty to stress out over. Tomorrow will worry about itself. Sometimes we can't even enjoy the present because we're so caught up in what tomorrow will hold. Enjoy today. You may not even see tomorrow. So enjoy this day. Enjoy the food that God blesses you with. Enjoy every morsel of it. Don't stress out. Enjoy life. Enjoy one another. Enjoy your children. Enjoy your marriage. Enjoy it today because you may not have it tomorrow. And this is what Jesus is trying to teach us and wants us to understand. He ends by saying, who of you by worrying can add a single hour to your life? You can take some hours away from your life by worrying, but you're not going to add to them. You know, you remember when you're on the plane and there's turbulence? What does the pilot tell you? Everybody, get ready to jump out of the plane. Is that what he says? No, he says, sit down. Put your seatbelt on and buckle in. That's what God tells us when we're going through things in life. He says, put your seatbelt on. Buckle in. I've got this. I'm going to take care of you until we get to the other side of it. Sometimes this is what we look like. You know, when I was in college, my brother who's next to me, who praise God became a Christian this year, he used to raise chickens. That was his hobby. So he built this chicken coop in the backyard, and he had all these chickens in there. I mean, we're very different. My only chicken I want is a cooked chicken. But he was raising these chickens and hatching chickens. And one day when he was off at school, a dog in the area got away. And the chickens were in this fence. And the dog went up and he started barking at the chickens. And the chickens would run out and fly up out over the coop. And he would kill them as they just stressing out. And every last one of them just flew up out of the coop. And if they just not stressed out and stayed inside the fence, the dog couldn't have touched them. And a lot of times that's the way our life is. Instead of staying in the confines of the kingdom of God, we get stressed and we jump out. And that's when Satan gets the best of us. God has got our back. Secondly, remember your value. What does Jesus say? He says that you're worth far more than anything else on the face of this planet. I mean, God values you. He says, if that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? God values us. You are more important to God than anything else he's ever created. He knows your name. He knows the number of hairs on your head. He knows your personality. He knows your weaknesses. He knows your strength. He knows your talents, your abilities. He knows your future. And God, even more than your parents, loves you. God, even more than your spouse, loves you. God values us above all things. You know how valuable something is to you by how diligent you search for it when it's lost. When you lose your phone, some of you, you're late to church looking for that phone. And sometimes it's right in your bag. You didn't know, but you're like, where is my phone? I'm incomplete without my iPhone or my Android or whatever. Or when you lose your wallet. I've lost my wallet and it just stresses me out. Where is my wallet? And so I got one of those ticker things and put it on my wallet so I can find it. Or people lose a pet and they put up all kinds of signs. I don't understand it, but some of you are pet people. When we lose jewelry, or you lose an earring and you're looking all over the place, even places that you know you didn't go, you go looking for it. God values us so much that he sent Jesus to rescue us. That's how important we are. That he sent his one and only son to find us and to bring us back home to him. And really, that is what God desires more than anything. Not that we graduate from some secular university, but that we graduate into heaven. That is what God values, and that's what God sent Jesus to give us the hope and the promise of. The Bible goes on to say, are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from the will of your Father. And even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. God values our children. God values each one of us. God knows us. God desires a relationship with us. There's nothing more important in this world than that you know God and that you walk with God. And that if there's ever a graduation that we should be proud of, it's when we hear the Lord say, well done, good and faithful servant. That is the ultimate graduation. And so what God is saying is, don't worry on this earth, in this life. You need to have faith in me. You see, worry is a faith problem. Do you believe that God is bigger than your worries? Do you believe that God will open the doors that you need open and he'll close the doors that need to be closed? When I lose my focus on God, that's when the worries take over. Cynthia we've already been there. We raised children in New York City. And our kids went to public schools, and that's challenging. And then they went to city colleges, which, praise God, cost less than private colleges. And we gave it all to God because we were working for the church, and, you know, the church only pays you so much. Praise the Lord. I'm thankful to be here. But we gave it all to God, and they both graduated, Lauren from Columbia University and Christina with a law degree from Fordham University, and it was all because we put our trust in God and didn't worry about the things of this world. My challenge to us is seek God first. He'll take care of it. He's shown us time and time again. He's never disappointed us. He's never deserted us, and he never will. And finally, seek first the kingdom. The solution to worry is action. You seek God first in his righteousness. Now, what does this mean? It means that God is first in my life. That God is first in my decision making, that I will not make decisions that make God second or less in my life. That God is first in my relationships. You know, when I was looking for a wife 37 years ago, I was looking for someone who put Jesus first and not me. And God blessed me with that. And this August, we celebrate 38 years of marriage. And the only reason our marriage is together is because we're both first seeking first the kingdom. It's not because I'm all that great or she's all, well, she is that great, but I'm not all that great. But we know that if God is at the center of it, that's what makes marriage work. And when people leave the kingdom, Satan takes over their marriage. You don't realize that it's God and the kingdom that's keeping your marriage together. And you need to seek first the kingdom if you want that thing to work. We need to seek God first in our careers. God is the one who opens the doors for our future. Sometimes we forget. So why would we neglect him when he blesses us with a great job? You know, I've had many jobs in my life, but I never took a job that prevented me from seeking first the kingdom. I told the boss the first day, I will be your best worker, your most reliable worker, but it cannot conflict with my relationship with God and with putting God's church first. And when they hired me, they were glad they did. And when I left, they were sad I left, because I gave it all I had, because I was working for the Lord and not for men. We need to seek first the kingdom in our academics. And yes, we are thankful for the accolades that are laid on our graduates and for the things you accomplish in life. You know, I was so happy to get out of school. You know, my kids, they were summa cum laude and cum laude, and I was thank you laude. That's what I was. But it was to God's glory that I got that degree. And it was God who opened the door and paid the debt for me to leave college pretty much debt free. But I put him first. You put God first. You put God first even in athletic endeavors. You never let sports come before the kingdom of God. You know, I saw the NBA draft the other night, and I'm thankful that J.R. Barrett is going to be a Nick, because his parents are disciples of Jesus Christ. So you need to pray for him. His parents are in God's church. Let's pray for him, and let's pray that he'll seek first the kingdom. I know if it was me, and they're up there saying, hey, you know, what made the difference, and God blessed me with that kind of talent, I'm going to tell everybody, it's the Lord. God gave it to me. And I'm going to put him first. And when I get this nice big salary, God's going to get at least 10% of it. To him be the glory. But a lot of times we think our kids are going to be all that, and we put sports and athletics and academics before the kingdom. And let me tell you, you will reap what you sow. You will reap what you sow. Because on the day of judgment, ain't nobody going to care about what degree you got. The only thing that's going to matter is, do you have a degree in humility before God? Have you accomplished and lived by the fruit of the Spirit? Have you been a man or a woman of God? We got to put him first. We got to put him first in our dating life. nor relationship with worth. You'll walk with God. I don't care how beautiful she is or how handsome she is. You better seek first the kingdom of God, because the devil looks like Delilah. He looks good. It's all beautiful. But I don't care how beautiful they are. You better, am I right, church? You better seek first the kingdom of God. And there ain't no woman better than a woman of God. And there ain't no man better than a man of God. You seek first the kingdom. You seek somebody who's going to get you to heaven. Where are they going to take you? Cynthia's helping me get to heaven. And when I'm old and grayer, she's going to help get me to heaven. Because I decided a long time ago when I was 18 years old, God, lead me to a woman of God. No compromise is worth our integrity before God. No scholarship is worth a soul. You know, as we come to a close here, I want to give you some other translations here. Steep your life in God reality, God initiative, God provisions. Don't worry about missing out. You'll find all your everyday human concerns will be met by God. The next translation says, so above all, constantly chase after the realm of God's kingdom and the righteousness that proceeds from him, then all these less important things will be given to you abundantly. Do we believe this, church? Do we believe this? Are we going to seek God's kingdom first and cast all our anxieties on him and not allow these things of the world to take us captive? Here again, this is what the proverb writer tells us. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. I don't care how smart you are. You're not smarter than God. And you're not smart enough to make it through this life without a relationship with God. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he'll make your path straight. Is that promise true, church? Is this wisdom from above? You know, the man who wrote this didn't even take his own advice. He didn't even take his own advice. You know, sometimes God can use somebody to tell you something, they're not even doing it themselves. But it's still true. And you need to heed it. You need to take advantage of it. So here's my challenge to you today. Do not worry. Remember your value. Seek first the kingdom of God. You know, ultimately, we're all going to have that final day when we walk across the stage and God calls our name. And you won't be able to have anybody else there assist you. You won't be able to say, Mom and Dad, can you come up with me? Or, you know, honey, can you join me? No. It's just going to be you one-on-one, and there you are, and God's going to call your name. See, that's the day I'm looking forward to. And I want him to call my name, and I want him to, Cynthia will go before me. C comes before S. And I know she'll be gleaming, and I'll be beaming, and she'll walk across that stage. And we will meet God face to face. We will meet him face to face. And I'm here to tell you, you're going to be okay. You'll be all right. It'll be the most glorious day of your existence if you do not worry, remember your value, and seek first the kingdom. God bless you.